Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, artists, marketers, entrepreneurs, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, I have with me someone who, although I have not known her very long, I absolutely adore, Yashika Lind of Yashika's Intuition, who likes to dabble in all the same stuff I do. So we almost missed getting live on time because we were having such a great conversation. Yashika is a spiritual and life coach, someone who helps you identify how you can improve your spiritual life so as to improve your physical life. And I really love the way that she works with energy, that she works with the intuitive arts in a way to what our subject is today, protect our own personal energy. So Yashika, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, let us know how you came up with such a really unique and individual coaching niche and what our personal energy really is.
Okay, so my name is Yashika, for those of you that don't know, and I started off living my life just like everybody else does. You know, you go to college, you get married, you go on the career path ascending and just trying to do the best that you can. Maybe around my year 30, when I turned 30, which is the Saturn return, what I call for most people, to me, that's when we start to really become adults. What happened was I walked away from my career that I had for decades willingly, but then I also unwillingly and very shockingly was involved in a divorce from my ex-husband and had to start my life all over from the ground up. And that led me to learn tarot, energy healing, astrology, all those things. And the reason why I became passionate about it is because I tried it once. And I was like, this is awesome. I got to learn how to do this because I didn't have any money to keep asking this lady how to move forward in my life. However, the tools that she gave me and a little bit of time that I spent with her, her name was Rose, led me to totally shift my life and feel very, very empowered. So because I come from a very educational and very academic background, I married that with my spirituality because I feel like we can check things in our heart and we can check things in our mind. A lot of times you may see people that are very, very spiritual without a lot of intellectual alignment, or they may be very intellectual but not very spiritual. And I just wanted to marry the two because I feel like that's where our true potential and our true success comes from. So that is, in a nutshell, my story.
I love it. I know that our chief financial officer and the secretary of our board of directors are going to dig on this interview because they're both MBIT practitioners, and MBIT is the coaching model behind the three brains, the head brain, the heart brain, and the gut brain. And they're always teaching about aligning those and how that can improve your quality of life. So what a powerful way to enter into this interview. I know that at my Saturn return at 30, I had been homeless for a long period of time. I got sober, got my life together. But like you, somebody gifted me my birth report, my astrological natal chart. And I was so blown away by how accurate the chart was that I was like, well, I got to study this. And just kind of ended up studying a whole bunch of other things together. So if you wouldn't mind explaining to our audience, what is the Saturn return and how does that affect our lives more than once as we live?
Okay, so the Saturn return is a mark in your life. You usually will have two of them, where if you looked at that birth chart that you just heard Sharon talk about, when you are born, Saturn is in a particular house in astrology. I don't want to make it too complicated, but in a specific position. And it takes about 30 years, 28 to 30 years for Saturn to return to that same position that it was when you were born. And when that happens, it's a very pivotal moment because Saturn is almost like a stern father figure that is forcing you to mature, to grow up, to align with your purpose and your legacy and your truth. And I feel like that is a pivotal area where we actually do become adults. We actually do step into our purpose. We actually do, maybe through a trial or a tribulation, shift into more of who we were supposed to be. So it'll happen once in about 28 to 30 years, right? And then another 28 to 30 years, it'll go around again. And so it usually will come around again when you're about close to 60 years old. And so that's why I say people usually have two. When you turn 60-ish, you have this shift, but it's a different kind of shift. And if you started to live your life with truth and purpose from your first Saturn return, what you will find is that you've moved into a more meaningful stage of life where you are like owning your purpose instead of growing into your purpose. So usually we have these two big shifts in our life purpose and our life legacy, and they're called Saturn returns.
Thank you for explaining that. How would you conceptually explain to the audience what our personal energy is?
So let me see if I can break it down a little bit. So when I try to explain personal energy, what I feel like it means is vibrations that we give off. And that vibration can come from our thoughts. And we know this because we can be next to somebody thinking something and it won't be us, but we can tell that they're sad or they're down, even if you can't tell on the outside. Yeah. Or we have nervous energy because our nerves are constantly firing off signals, and that in turn is a electrical energy that we carry with us. And we also have just energy from our molecules, our physical energy, from what we're made of. And as we know, we learn on a simplistic level in school that that stuff emits energy based on the vibration. So I feel like all of those things put together, our thoughts, our emotions, our nervous energy, all of that is what makes up our personal energy.
Got it. And so in today's society, where we seem to be on a downward slope as far as our health is concerned, how does the way that we protect or don't protect our personal energy create what we're currently seeing in our society?
Well, for one, I feel like a lot of what I see is a lot of us that have lost touch with who we are. Mm-hmm. We have energies from just wireless frequencies. We have energy from all these electronic devices that we have. And then some areas are becoming just more populated, and people feel a little bit differently than they did previously in previous generations. All of that gets muddled together. And because we are losing touch with ourselves for some of those other things that I stated, I just feel like it just muddles everything up to where we don't know what's ours, we don't know what's theirs, and we tend to take on a lot of energy or not protect ourselves appropriately from a lot of things that we're exposed to.
Gotcha. That does kind of beautifully combine both the physical aspect of energy as well as the spiritual aspect of energy. Mm-hmm. And I know you and I were discussing cancer before we went live, and not only the prolific nature of cancer in our society, but the level of aggravated, like actively destructive cancers that are currently in our society. Do you believe that cancer has an energetic base? And if so, what do you believe that energetic base might be?
So, yes, and I believe several. And I think it just depends on the person. For instance, I do think that the waves that are being emitted, especially moving into this new 5G thing, I think that plays a huge part in how our bodies, how our atoms respond to that type of energy, which creates some sickness within us. I feel like also what I find working with clients is that energetically, cancer to me sometimes seems to manifest in spiritually not being able to feel free to release burdens and patterns and things that have held either you down from the past, but not only you, I also see it as something generational that people carry, which may be a link to why cancer could be spread from generation to generation. But then I also believe, just on a simplistic level, we don't treat ourselves well. We don't eat well. Some of it in our own control, some of it not, with the pesticides and all the other crap that's in food. So I think there's many different modalities and where it comes from. But I think that the one that we miss a lot is that, to me, energetically, we sometimes can hold on to things that I feel cause cancer.
So in your particular niche and you're in the way that you work with your clients, what do your clients typically come to you for?
Usually people come to me when they feel desperate, right? Because a lot of people,
girl, I hear you.
Yeah, we wait, right? We wait until shit hits the bed, and then we want to get help at that moment. And usually it's from a relationship, because that, you know, that's how we learn our lessons, is through relationships. And usually it's in a relationship that's not so productive to who they want to be and where they want to be. And so it'll start off there. But then as we start to uncover layers, that's when you start to see that maybe they were in a relationship that they shouldn't have been in. And we uncover the layers of the burdens and the codependencies and things that we tend to fall into when we don't have healthy relationships, or we don't have a healthy relationship with ourselves first before we get into a relationship with another person.
That is really powerful.
Yeah.
We've been taught, and a lot of this comes from the time of the Tudors, that I need someone to complete me. So we're so desperate to find somebody who validates our existence by wanting us that we will put up with some scandalous ass stuff to feel validated in someone else's wanting of us.
It's so sad. It breaks my heart so much. And I'm not saying that I wasn't there at one point, but it's
girl, I've been there.
Yeah. And if you can, I just want to pick them up and hug them and say, if you just trust that on the other side, there's something different, that you don't need somebody to make you whole, you'll see that you'll attract somebody that actually matches you whole. Yeah. You don't want a half person to complete you, because they wouldn't be what you needed. You want two whole people to come together.
And that's really not something that we're taught as a society. We're taught to pay attention to what the person looks like, what they have, and what they can bring into our lives, rather than the idea of conscious relationships, which is really, you know, there's a revival in the idea of conscious relationships, which is the first priority is the individual's change and how that other person inspires change and ascension in you as a person. And the relationship comes second to that. And have you ever dealt with a client where that was what they wanted, and helping them really direct more of their effort towards achieving that?
Unfortunately, it's rare, because it takes a soul being ready to really dig deep and do the juicy stuff. And that's very scary for some people, and it's very dramatic for somebody. Maybe like 5% of my clients know that they want to do better and they want to be better. And when they become better, they realize that the outward things that they see in their environment or in their relationships are a product of what they've become on the inside. But that's not something that people normally can comprehend or understand. We just want a quick fix. We are humans having a human experience. We just want to be loved and held and belong and feel good, right? So
we do. And I find that a lot of that underlying belief system creates that constant cycle of, here's my power, I'm going to give it to you, because there's some fear of recognizing ourselves as the creator of our own experience. Because if I do that, I've been taught that I'm weak and I'm broken and I need to be fixed either by some outside deity or by somebody else loving me. So I'm terrified of owning my own creative potential and power. So how do you help people become more, at least that 5% of your clients that really is interested in owning their status as the creator of their own experience, like really step into the fullness of what that means?
Well, a lot of times you have to start with the beginning almost. You have to, it's almost like recreating your life through a story. And so I like to have a lot of my clients start from the beginning and just tell a story. And it's not what they want in life. It's not what kind of environment or material things they want in life. It's who do they want to be? Who do they want to embody? And that, again, is a very hard question for people to answer when we haven't given ourselves permission to do that. But I think the more that I teach them to create their story and then learn how to feel their story and learn how to own that story, the rest of it kind of takes care of itself. That's how manifestation works. And a lot of times you just help coach past the struggles of staying on that path. But if you can get somebody to stay on that path and just do the work, even if they don't fully believe it, things will start to shift, and then they see it, and then they believe it, and then we just keep going and working in a cycle. Yeah.
And that's why they call it faith, because you're stepping out on something that you don't necessarily believe is going to get you results. But that's where that part of when we're desperate enough comes in, because we've tried everything else. Mm-hmm. We've clearly identified that our best thinking has not brought us to a place of substantial or meaningful change. And then we become, as the book of Alcoholics Anonymous says, sweetly reasonable. We get to that point where it's like, okay, I'm going to try it somebody else's way, because the way I'm trying it is just bringing me pain and havoc. And I know that for me, that's the kind of client that just almost makes me get down on my knees and thank God when I get that kind of client that is in that sweetly reasonable stage where they're like, tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it. Because those are the people that just, they just take off. And I love working with people like that. That's why I focus on people like that, because that's where you can really invest the most power and create the most long-lasting, profound personal change.
Yeah, I agree. I think that for me, I like to target professional women, being an executive or former executive, because I believe that a lot of times those women and men, they already have seen success in their outer worlds, so they do believe it. Even if it's not happening in their personal and inner world, they at least believe it a little bit. So again, they're in that sweet space where they want to surrender and they want to give up to the process. For the people that don't feel that way, though, I try to encourage them to not look at their outer life as a manifestation of what is currently happening, because what you see outside is a lagging measure, right? When you want to lose weight, when you step on the scale, that's something that is a result of a lot of work, and then you see the scale drop, right? So you don't see internally what's going on when you're working out and when you're eating right, but you have to believe that the things that you are doing are creating a difference. So don't look at your outer world just as you wouldn't initially look on the scale. You have to just trust that if you're doing the right things, or if you even surrender to the right things, that you will create what it is that you want to create.
And it's interesting, because we have been taught, especially here in Western society, that out here is where everything is. Uh-huh. We don't tend to go within. And as a result, this illusion of having this other self, this ego, is allowed to fester and stay aboard, because there's never any going within and being like, well, who is me?
Uh-huh.
Who actually is I? Which, when you really begin to explore that question, kind of becomes like the eyes trying to see themselves or the teeth trying to bite themselves, because there is no separate I. It's all us. But it's not until you get to that point of questioning, which again normally results as a function of desperation, that you begin to find that release. And I know that for me, that first Saturn return was momentous, because I had reached that point of being sweetly reasonable. If my sponsor had told me to go out onto the 405 freeway in midday traffic and bounce on one foot for an hour, I would have been out on that 405 bouncing around like a pogo stick until she told me I could come back in, because I was that desperate.
Right.
And that's what is simultaneously tragic and beautiful about today's society, is that enough people are finally in enough pain that they're starting to search for things outside of the typical, how do I lose weight? How do I get me a mate? How do I get that six-figure job? And they're starting to look within and ask the questions of, how do I fix the way I feel?
Yeah. It's very beautiful. Oh, I just lost my thought. I was going to say something about what she said. That happens to me all the time. I'm like, oh, I got a good thought.
You know what? I normally find that if I just keep right on talking in about 2 or 3 minutes, like the pop will go ding.
And then again, you go back and circle back. But
oh my gosh, I spend all kinds of time right now going in the kitchen being like, what the hell did I come in here for?
Oh, I am so sorry. If it was a good one, so I'm sure Spirit will give it back to me and I'll tell you guys later.
That is actually an excellent point, because I think that we spend a lot of time believing that like the thoughts and the intuition and the creation that we have has to come from self. And I love that idea of what you just said of actually functioning more as a channel, and less as the person that needs to, you know, control and create everything. What are some of the methods that you use to help a client begin to really release that idea of control and step more into that place of flow?
Well, first, like I said, mostly I'm seeing people when they're down and out, and it's usually having to do with a relationship thing. And so we really try to step back and try to unbreak the layers that we've been taught around being able to control somebody or being able to convince somebody or doing all those things, and just get into the layer where you don't have control over anything other than yourself. And I think that once people can finally accept that layer, then they're open to other layers. So you start there. And then I think another thing that I like to help them see is that if you find maybe saying the word spirituality a little bit crazy, or if you don't believe in God, being spiritual just means believing in something bigger than yourself and believing in something bigger than what you experience on a day to day. And so I think just helping them connect with whatever that looks like for themselves. So for people that are scientific, it would be that quantum physics type of modality. For people that are religious, it would be like God or Allah or whatever they believe in. And then if we want to say spiritual, it could be that higher self, that intuition, whatever people connect to, because everybody has something that they connect to. Like you said, we're not just here on our own. So I think just helping people connect that way is what's helpful.
It does. I find that with a lot of the clients that I work with, most of the people that come to me from a place of desperation and the low kind of jail institutions and death desperation. Yeah. And as we all know, everybody in jail is religious. Everybody. When you hit jail, all of a sudden you're going to start reading that Bible. You're going to read the Quran, you got whatever it is that you use as your spiritual text, you all of a sudden get way up into that because you're not happy. And on the one hand, that's funny. On the other hand, it's extremely useful because when you're desperate enough to really begin to acknowledge that everything I have tried up until this point has been completely pointless in getting to where I want to go, that's the point at which you actually have the capacity and the space to plug into something that you haven't tried yet. And it's that plugging in to that something that works. And I've always liked to use the analogy, because I'm a pastor's daughter, that growing up, I saw all these people who would just plugged in effortlessly to God, like God was an outlet on the wall. Like effortlessly, they just plugged in and it created so much joy and so much happiness and so much purpose for them. And I was like the toddler with the screwdriver who was like, you know, messing around in the outlet and would get shot across the room, but never really felt like I connected with that source. Yeah. And to me, sometimes it really is the friction of our life's experiences that create that ability to connect. So for your clients, how do you help them really plug in to something beyond themselves?
I think that by just, again, helping them take a step back, we all can recognize what we see on the day to day, but it doesn't matter, like you said, if you plug in and you get shocked or you plug in and it doesn't really connect with who you are. I think inherently as human beings living this experience, we all have felt a situation or a time where something may have happened to us, even if it's big or small, that is outside of our capacity or who we would be or where we would be. And I think that, again, pulling them back to those instances and helping them recognize, helping teach them the basics and the foundations about their intuition, their spirituality, their energy, are to me, are just those outer tools, those outer manifestations that connect them with that. But I just think, again, just connecting them to some experience in life where they felt that and letting them know that that one little spark or feeling that they felt is something that they can feel all the time, and then giving them the tools through those modalities to help them out. But I just, Spirit just talked to me a little bit as me and you were talking, and you know, you and I have said desperate, you know, you get desperate and you get down and then you feel like you want to do it. But then there's this voice that keeps saying, well, maybe we're just ready, right? Yeah. Maybe we weren't ready before. Maybe we've tried, but we weren't fully invested. And maybe that time where we may call it desperation is really the time where our soul and our spirit is ready to actually do the work. And until somebody is fully ready to be present and to change into another state, it's never really going to happen, right? It's never really going to materialize. So that just
I love it. So we have a new moon coming up this week.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything about the new moon that you'd like to share with our viewers as it relates to how you can protect or further your own personal energy during that time?
Yeah. So this is a phenomenal new moon for the things that we're talking about. Leo is a sign of manifestation, of love, of creation. And if you use the Leo energy, which is where the new moon will be, to its highest potential, I think what you'll find is that as much as we are talking about how we are collective, we first have to go through that space where we figure out who we are individually, right? So we can know how we contribute as a whole. And Leo helps you do that. So we all have a purpose and we all have a legacy. And I'd like to say it's not even our job, because people connect purpose to job. And purpose is just what you were put on this earth to do. Leo helps you be brave and step into who you are and own who you are uniquely, because we all have something different to offer. So I would say, especially with this heavy retrograde energy forcing us to get rid of the things that we need to get rid of and change the foundations and structures that we need to change, that what we really need to embrace is that we can be brave and bold and know that we can create whatever it is that we want to create in our life. But in order for that to happen, we have to discard our ego and we have to step into who we are truly called to be uniquely on this earth. Powerful energy around that.
Yes, that 8-8 gateway coming up as well. Just an all around incredibly powerful time right now.
Yeah.
Well, my love, right? I mean, that's what it's felt like over, especially this last month. I swear to God.
Yeah.
There have been some days where I am sobbing hysterically. There have been days where I'm happy. There have been days where I'm pissing every single person in my immediate circle off. It's just been a roller coaster ride, but that's what the function of a retrograde is. It's to turn the energy of that planet that I know that we tend to call it more like Joseph Campbell uses them a lot. It's, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it turns whatever that energy is. So for like Venus, Aphrodite, the planet Venus, it would be Aphrodite or the goddess of love. It turns that energy inward. Mm-hmm. And often that energy being turned inward can feel so uncomfortable because we spend so much time out here, but it's such a time of profound personal transformation.
I agree.
Archetype. That's the word I was looking for.
And just trust it, right? Like we just talked about this whole time, you don't see it right away. It's a lagging measure. So just trust it, lean in and surrender to it, because I do firmly believe that those of us that do, starting next year, things are just going to pick up and go the way that you want them to. And I think that we're being promised that if we do the work and we want to own it and at least do 1% more or better than we did the day before, you will find exponential progress by the time we get into 2020.
Woohoo!
Yeah, all right.
Well, Lainey, thank you so much for joining me today. Our half hour is up. It always seems to fly by, but this one especially, because I could just talk with you all day.
That was nice. I love this.
I want to take a minute to recognize our viewers, Robin, Justin, Shadia, Susan. A lot of you flew by through the chat too fast for me to catch you, but thank you for being here with us. If you do find this video after we are no longer live, drop us a hashtag replay if you like what you hear and you'd like to connect with Yashika. All of her contact information, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, her website, it's all available in this Facebook Live. Hook up with her, because this is a woman who has some profound tools for helping you identify how you can change, how you can step into that new level of thriving and being exactly what you were put here to be. So Yashika, again, one last time, thank you so much for joining me. To everyone who was here, thank you for watching, and we will see you guys as always tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks, loves.